You're listening to Radio Caravan with host Scott Hayes, healthy lifestyle coach Jill Harvey, and sound engineer April Johnson.
Come on.
All right, you're listening to KX 93.5, Laguna's only FM. I'm Scott Hayes, and this is Radio Caravan. And by the way, if you didn't notice, we have a new, what is that called, a sounder? April, get on the mic. Is it a sounder or sweeper? What is that called?
Sounder, sweeper, cool. Intro, yeah.
Okay, and that's Sean Jones, by the way. What's the name of the song? Do you remember?
That is Life is for the Living.
Life is for the Living?
That, yeah.
He's been a guest on our show before. He also contributed, allowed us to use one of his songs for the tribute we did for Robert Palmer. Great musician, by the way. Great musician. Hey, just a reminder, Radio Caravan is on Cox 3 TV, 8 p.m. every Saturday, 12 noon every Sunday. Reaches 250,000 Cox subscribers in Orange County and Palos Verdes. And tonight and tomorrow, I'm pretty sure, I don't know, but I'm hearing that it's the Kenny Metcalf, Caleb Quay show. And for those who follow Radio Caravan, it's a very interesting show with two musicians. And Caleb Quay, of course, is the legendary guitarist who played with Elton John. And then Kenny Metcalf, you just have to, how shall I say this, experience it for yourself. Yeah?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's Jill in the background, by the way. In the studio, we have this morning Miss Jill Harvey. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm really good. How are all of you?
Everybody seems to be doing okay. We also have April Johnson, engineer.
Good morning.
There she is. Intern Katie Fetters.
Good morning.
And we have a new voice this morning.
Uh-oh.
Go ahead. Get on that mic real close there,
okay,
Mark.
All right.
And we have Jim Bastian. Is that how you pronounce your last name?
It's like Sebastian, but without the suh.
With a suh. Okay, so we'll just call you Bastian. Jim Bastian here, who's going to step in and kind of help us out when he's in the mood.
We're going to see how it goes.
We're going to see how it goes, yeah. So we will be talking with Jim more after the first half of this morning's show because around 8:15 we're going to have a over-the-phone interview with Jeff Downs from the band Asia, sort of an 80s band that's back. They're playing at the Coach House in San Juan Capistrano next Thursday, I believe, October 16th. He can tell me if I'm right or wrong about that. And by the way, for those who are listening, we're giving away two tickets to that performance next Thursday at the Coach House, Asia, the band, for the first caller who can answer the following question, and this is a softball question. Name one of Asia's top 40 hits from their self-titled first album. Name one of Asia's top 40 hits from their first from their self-titled first album. Call 949-715-5936, 949-715-5936. What's going on over there, you two?
Oh, we were just talking about how much we love Asia.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They're great. Yeah, by the way, Jim, you remember the band Asia, too, right?
Completely. They were a big early 80s British band. Kind of, you know, out of the norm at that time. You know, you had a lot of the techno-pop, New Order, Depeche Mode. They were more in the style of like a Styx or a Journey.
Right, yeah.
But they were huge.
They were huge.
I think they were the Grammy winner for New Artist that year.
Yeah, I think they, I know April's going to do a Legends of Rock here this morning, you know, about sort of their accomplishments and stuff. And they had top 40 hits. They had an album that sold, I don't know how many.
It was like double platinum, I think.
Was it double platinum?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, amazing. And so they've gone through some band changes as well, which I'm sure Jeff will talk about that. Do we have somebody on the phone?
We have a caller.
Ooh, this is interesting. Round of applause. Golf clap. Caller, are you there?
Yes.
Hello. What's your first name?
Hi, Karen.
Karen, how are you this morning, by the way? I guess you're a listener of Radio Caravan. Thank you.
I am every week, yes.
I love to hear that, by the way. Hey, so Asia's playing next Thursday at the Coach House. We're giving away two tickets. We'll make arrangements for that if you can answer the following question. Name one of their top 40 hits from their self-titled first album.
Heat of the moment.
Wow, heat of the moment. Round of applause for her. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put you back on hold. April's going to get your contact information and such. And then we'll figure out a way to get you those tickets, whether we mail them to you between now and Thursday or whether you'll just have your name down there at will call.
Thank you. Love Asia. Grew up with them. Thank you so much.
Thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
Take care.
All right. Very nice. So, April, we got them on hold. You're going to take care of that. But let's do this first. I want to get to the Legends of the Rock because I want to call Jeff here at 8:15. We said we would. Are we ready to rock and roll on that?
Yeah, we can do that.
Let's do it.
I'm having a little problem with my headset over here. I can't hear anything.
Yeah, we put it.
Which is kind of not good for the sound engineer.
No, you can't hear really? You can't hear anything at all?
No, I can't really hear much, so I'm going to switch with Jill quickly.
All right, well, we'll talk.
I don't know if it's my headset or the keyboard plug.
Well, for listeners, we came in this morning and the adapter to the board was missing where we can plug in about three headphone sets. And, you know, we put a call out to the right guy, but we think he's still sleeping. Not an early morning riser. I don't think he is. So
the risk of a Saturday 8 a.m. show.
Yeah, it really is, yeah. I mean, you know, but funny, I mean, I sort of embrace the mistakes, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just part of, the live going on air. And
why not? What can you do about it, right?
Well, exactly right yeah. So while she's scrambling, we can sit here and talk about all the mistakes we've made over the last year.
I've made none.
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah.
Same.
There's your first mistake.
Damn it.
Okay, I think the problem's fixed.
All right, let's go. Legends of Rock, Asia. Talk
Legends
to me. Got to get on the mic, though.
Oh, I know. I just got to stop dropping stuff.
Okay.
All right. So Asia. Asia was formed in 1981 as a supergroup of four members from different progressive rock bands. So those members were John Wetton. He's a former bassist and vocalist of such bands as King Crimson and Wishbone Ash. Steve Howe. He was the guitarist of Yes. Jeff Downs, keyboardist of Yes and the Buggles.
Who's calling it at 8:15?
That's right.
Yeah.
And drummer Carl Palmer of Emerson, Lake and Palmer.
Beautiful.
Pretty good group, huh?
Wow. Super band.
The band spent 5 months writing, arranging, and recording 9 songs for its debut album, which exploded onto the music scene in March 1982 with several top 10 singles and sales exceeding 7 million copies. This album included such classics as Heat of the Moment and Soul Survivor.
I never meant to be so bad to you. One thing I said that I would never do. A look from you and I would fall from grace.
It's gone.
Oh, yeah, we're talking to 22-year-old intern Katie Fetters to see if she knows this song, and she definitely does.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So. I think everybody knows this song.
Yeah.
Reminds me of 7th grade for roller rink. Skateboard in Michigan.
I never could roller rink, but I love this song. It's a great song. It's got a good sound.
Okay. Soul Survivor, this is another good song. You know this one, Katie? I don't know.
Production in these songs. Love it.
Yeah.
A distinctive in its own right. No, you're good. Go.
Oh, yeah. That's how they work compared to
I don't think these long intros would really work anymore in this particular.
We don't have the attention span.
Yeah, that's just
too
it.
Too much
you know.
ADD, huh?
We're like, we're the worst.
Yeah, 3 minutes and 20 seconds. Get it done. What else we got?
That's funny.
Love that.
John Wetton said, I think that we all knew as soon as we recorded the first few songs that it was going somewhere special. I don't think we knew, however, until we recorded Heat of the Moment that we had a monster on our hands. The band had only weeks to rehearse for a 30-city U.S. tour. By the time the band reached the 12th stop of the tour, the debut album had already hit number one on the Billboard charts.
Wow.
Even though the second album, Alpha, and the following albums could never repeat the chart success of the first CD release, Don't Cry was a number one album rock track and top 10 pop hit in the summer of 1983. So let's listen to that. Don't Cry.
Don't Cry by Asia.
good voice. Yeah, you have a great
so
voice.
It almost made me cry.
You almost cried over there?
No, it was don't cry.
Careful. The equipment isn't waterproof, I don't think.
That's too early for that.
All right. The band has gone through many lineup changes throughout its history, but in 2006, the original lineup reunited. As a result, a second band called Asia featuring John Payne exists as a continuation of John Payne's career as Asia's frontman from 1991 until Wetton's return in 2006. In 2013, Howe retired from the band in order to pursue other projects and was replaced by guitarist Sam Cowlson. Did I say that right, Cowlson?
Yeah, I think so, Cowlson.
Completing the current lineup. Yeah, we'll ask him when he calls in, make sure I got all that right. Asia's latest album, Gravitas, was released on March 24th, 2014 and reached number one in the progressive rock chart for eMusic on the 27th of March.
Beautiful.
Anyway, I want to go see these guys.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think there's two tickets we just gave away. For listeners, just a reminder, Asia's playing at the Coach House next Thursday. I'm pretty sure I got that date right. I hope I do. They'll let me know if I don't, of course. And if you've never been to the Coach House, by the way, let's get the call in, by the way.
Okay.
April, yeah. If you've never been to the Coach House, it's probably the only great venue still in Orange County where you can go and hear bands like Asia and others. There used to be, I don't know if you were around back then, Jim, where the Golden Bear in Huntington
Beach? No, I was just going to say, the Golden Bear in Huntington Beach was probably the only one that rivaled the Coach House.
Totally, yeah.
I saw Fishbone there. I saw the Untouchables. I saw... I think I saw Dramarama there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, there was a lot of great bands in the 80s that ran through the Golden Bear.
Yeah, you know, the Golden Bear was a great time, too. They brought in a lot of phenomenal musicians back in those days, and that's what the Coach House still does to this day. And I've been trying to reach out to get the owner of the Coach House here on the show for an interview, but he's very sort of reclusive, and I've been working on it, though. I think it'd be very interesting. Yeah,
I know a couple of people that might know him as well. Let's
seriously
see what we can do.
See, there's that value you're starting to bring to the radio show already.
Very marginal.
Somebody who knows somebody.
I know a guy. I got a guy.
I got a guy who knows a guy.
He's his architect or his gardener. I can't remember. We'll figure it out.
Either one would probably work. Yeah. You know what's interesting, too, is I was talking with somebody just yesterday about a studio guy, you know, a guy that has his own recording studio, which I find surprising that people who have their own recording studios can still make a living out of it because, I mean, the small guys, you know, the small sort of, because, you know, so many musicians these days can go and record on their own, you know, garage band software or whatever it's called. But everybody that I seem to run into is the brother or the uncle or the nephew or the something of somebody famous in the music industry.
Yeah. No. Yeah. If you're in Southern California, there's so many people involved in it.
Yeah.
And actually, I found recently a lot of the times you would think that action was going on in L.A. or Hollywood. But there's a progression down to Orange County where there's a lot of people. I think they like living down here. Maybe mm-hmm. the weather, not as much traffic, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. But the music industry is definitely all over Southern California.
Yeah, totally. Hey, April, let me ask you a quick question. Are you on the phone? Are we getting through?
Not yet. I got no answer on...
Great. Well, let's do this. I want you to roll me into a song by Asia, and we'll make that call over the break. You have, by the way, the song Only Time Will Tell?
I do.
Let's play that song by Asia off their self-titled first album, I believe, and we're going to put a call out and make sure we can get Jeff Downs here on the phone in just a moment. Hey, take us out of here, April.
You got it.
To find that you planned it all along.
You think that I would have known by now.
Now, sure.
as the sun will cross the sky, this lie is over. Lost, like the tears that used to tide me over.
On for me, April. Very nice. And by the way, let's make sure our caller's on the phone so our caller can hear me. Jeff, are you there?
How you doing, man?
Great. April, I want you to hear this, man. He seems a little muffled to me. Can you tell me if he seems a little muffled? Hey, anyways, for listeners, you're listening to KX93.5 Laguna's Only FM. I'm Scott Hayes, and this is Radio Caravan. Jeff, did we wake you up?
No, not at all. I was up and about.
Up and
from Breezy.
Okay, where are you located? My co-host here seems to think you're in Dallas right now.
Yeah, we are. We're in Dallas at the moment, and we're looking forward to coming over west in the next few days, actually.
Yeah, I mean, we just, we did about 10 or 15 minutes sort of a retrospective of, Asia. We played a couple of the songs. You're playing at the Coach House, I believe, next Thursday. Do I have that correct?
That's correct, yeah.
Uh-huh. And
yeah,
we were talking about...
Yeah.
It's a great venue, by the way, so we're looking forward to having you guys out here. And we've given away two tickets to a caller who knew our trivia question related to you.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Okay, fantastic.
Hey, my co-host Jim is here, and he kind of is a huge fan of you guys, grew up with the whole MTV generation. And Jim, you want to tell Jeff here what you were telling me a moment ago?
Yeah, Jeff, I was actually at my, I remember distinctly, I was at my aunt's house in Chicago in August of 1981. When they,
August 1st, I remember it well.
Yeah, the very first video that ever aired on MTV was the Buggles video, Kill the Radio Star. And that's, I think people who know anything about you know that was your song and that was your band then. But if you think about Asia and you think about the Buggles, I cannot think of two more maybe diametrically opposed sort of styles of music in terms of that generation. The Buggles seem to be more in the spirit of a lot of the bands that were coming out of Great Britain at that time, but Asia has more of a big rock, you know, just really intense musician feel with the lineup that you guys have. I just found it interesting.
Yeah, I agree. They are. Yeah, they are two very different animals. But I think that they both sort of fitted in with that whole start of that MTV generation.
No, for sure. And you know, as I was telling them here before you joined us, you know, Asia was one of the staples of MTV early on. And I just remember as a kid, I was actually joking before, you know, the roller rink era of the early 80s and hearing Asia's songs when you're doing the couple skate.
Was that a good time period for you, Jeff? I mean, I got to believe that, you know, coming out with your first self-titled album and receiving such huge success, what was that feel like for you back then? And by the way, how old were you back then during that period of time?
Well, I was about in my sort of mid to late 20s, and I think that, you know, the other guys were a little bit older than me, but that was an amazing time. I don't think when we did that album that we actually... dreamed or believed it would do what it did. You know, I mean, it was like number one on the Billboard chart for 10 weeks. I mean, we didn't have any notion about that when we made it. We made it as an album that we thought was going to be refreshing for all of us. Obviously, I'd come from a different background to the other three. The other three guys were from the big bands of the 70s. You know, like Pink right. Crimson, Yes, and ELP. So I was a sort of a bit of an oddball in there in many ways. Even though I'd been in Yes briefly before, you know, it was not really my background. So I think that it was a combination of stuff that they wanted to do. They wanted to do something that was a bit more concise, a bit more not poppy, but you know, a bit more mainstream. And I think that you know, my presence in there kind of helped steer it in that direction. And you know, I think at that time we just had to fit in with what was happening in America, particularly at the time.
Right. Yeah. Did you co-write "Only Time Will Tell" and "Heat of the Moment"?
Yeah, I did with John Wetton. We sort of hit it off very quickly as a writing combination. I think when we formed Asia and John and myself really did, you know, get to grips and had a very good writing relationship.
I'm always curious about songwriters because, you know, I mean, you know, the production is always wonderful, especially with you guys, overwhelming, right? You know, and I always wonder about the songwriting and that process. So when you guys sat down to actually write that song or those songs, let me put it that way, those that became top 40 hits, right? Did you guys collaborate both on music and lyrics or was it, so how did that process work and how long did it take you to actually write those two songs?
We were very quick on the writing. I think that... We wrote another song called Soul Survivor and Wildest Dreams, which were both co-writes on the album between me and John. And we just used to sit down one afternoon and literally we threw a couple of ideas together and said, right, well, there's one section of the song, there's another section. Let's work on trying to craft it into something. It was really that fast. You know, maybe, you know, Heat of the Moment was probably when one afternoon we put that together.
Right. That's amazing.
But these were ideas that we'd had accumulated for some time before. So we kind of just threw everything into the pot and saw what we could make work together.
Very nice, yeah. And then when you went into actually, you know, in the production process, how long did it take you to produce those songs? And did you have a, how did that collaboration process work?
Well, we the record label, we were the first band that signed to Geffen Records at the time, who were, you know, sort of fledgling label coming up then, David Geffen and yeah. Started his own label, and we were the first band that was signed there. So they had very sort of grand designs on who we would work with, and we ended up working with the late Mike Stone, who is not with us anymore, but he was a terrific record producer, British guy, and we recorded it in the UK. So we had a very kind of British background to it, but even a lot of British people thought we were American. When the album came out, so I don't quite know how that worked.
You know, I'm going to kind of bring it up to date a little bit here. Asia seems to have gone through you know, a little bit of personnel changes over the years. Is that fair of me to say?
Yeah, I mean, it did change its course on various you know, went through various dimensions. But I think about 8 years ago now, when we got the original band back together again, when we felt the time was right, and and you know, we called that the Reunion Asia Reunion Project, and, mm-hmm. and we literally, you know, got Steve Howe and Carl and myself and John Wetton together in one room, and we said, let's give it a go, and that's really, you know, pretty much how it's been since, although Steve has since you know, decided he wanted to go off and do other things, and we've got a guitarist in the last 2 years, but of course Sam Carlson, but the spirit of the band is still there. I think that we still enjoy playing live. You know, we've done another 3 or 4 albums since we reformed in 2006.
So Jeff, this is Jim. So sorry to interrupt you there, but when a band gets back together, especially after a long break, you guys all had other projects, you were doing different things. I often wonder what the dynamic is. Was there any precipitating event, for example, that led to the original breakup or guys going their separate ways? Is it kind of like, you know, we're back in the saddle and everything's normal again? Is there a warming up period? How does that whole dynamic work?
Well, it was literally a case of we got back in and we said, right, well, should we play a song? I mean, we'd had a couple of meetings beforehand. And everyone was kind of cool with everybody else. There wasn't any massive breakup in the first place anyway. It was just a case that people went off and did different things. But I think when we got back together again and we started playing, that was the real test that we felt that we knew it was going to work, because, you know, we kind of, the four original band members made a sound that really nothing else, that didn't actually ever sound like anything else. You know, it sounded like Asia, and that was the sound that we had, and that came together very, very instantly when we got back together again.
And then the other thing I was wondering is as you come back together with maybe a long period of time between hits and in what we would call commercial success, does the music change? Does the influence change? Do you actually change your approach to a different market in a different day and age?
I don't think so. I think this is the principles that we started off doing when we got together in the first place remained intact. I think that, you know, there was no sort of, well, we better review this and decide how we do this any differently. I mean, as you said, you know, the market changes. We've not had any sort of significant profile for quite some time. So, you know, you build it back up again, and that's what we've been doing over the last 7 or 8 years, is actually, you know, building back the profile. We still get very good following in you know, all over the world, in Japan, in the UK. We're going to the UK, we went to Japan earlier this year. So it's, you know, it's not something that has gone away. It's something that we just have to kind of revisit.
So let's kind of bring it up to date. This is Scott. You know, in terms of your latest album, I'm curious, Gravitas. Am I pronouncing that correctly, by the way?
Gravitas, yeah.
And what's the significance of the title?
I think that it's kind of a, you know, there's some quite deep songs in there, and I think Gravitas is a kind of a word that sums, you know, a sort of serious situation up, and that's really what it is. There's some deep songs on there. And particularly the title song. So, you know, we try and change up and have a different, different slant and different songs every time we do an album.
Yeah. And so if you had to describe the album, or if you had to describe the album, let's say, or the differences between Asia today and Asia back in the 80s for the fans who are going to come listen to you next week at the Coach House, can you kind of brief us on sort of the differences?
Yeah, I think that they'll hear different songs from different eras, but when you hear it as an entire show, it really does kind of, all the material seems to knit together well. So, you know, it's very much a night of Asian music spanning 35 years.
So when you're out on the road right now and you go to these shows and you're playing these venues, what's your observation about the audience out there? You know, I find that when I go to concerts, you know, I went to see Katy Perry a couple weeks ago with my teenage daughters,
and that
was one set. But when I go see a, you know, sort of a classic band that's had success in over a 30-year history, the crowd's a little different. So what do you think about the crowds on the road right now?
They've been great. You know, they've been fantastic. I mean, obviously, you know, there's quite a few people from the era of when we came out, you know, when they were at college and stuff like that. So they're in the, I don't know, those sort of 50s or late 40s, early 50s. So we have quite a number of people in that age bracket, but you know, they bring their kids sometimes, so we get that kind of following as well. So it's nice that we've got, you know, quite a broad spectrum of bands that still come out to see us.
That's great. With respect to promoting the album and the music industry generally, with so much being different from when you guys first hit it, how do you, as sort of a classic musician and being someone who, frankly, is a bit legendary in the industry, what do you feel about today's age in terms of, you know, digital music and file sharing and music sharing and all the copyright issues and things?
I think you just have to accept that there has been change. You know, I mean, things change in every walk of life, and we try and make as much, try and make as much as we can from our past sales, because obviously, you know, as you point out, the digital downloads and all the rest of it, it takes away quite a lot of the business aspect, the trade aspect of what we're doing. But you know, we try and make up for it in other ways by going out and playing live and doing DVDs and that sort of thing. Hopefully, that helps to kind of sustain our careers. That's all we can really do.
As a songwriter, where do you fall on the whole thing with the digital downloads? And, you know, U2 just released an album for free on iTunes. There seem to be some strong opinions by songwriters with respect to how music is delivered today and how it's protected.
Yeah, I mean, it is disappointing that sometimes, you know, you're finding that your work has been given away for free. And I think that, that's not fair, you know, because we spent a lot of time working and writing that stuff. You know, it shouldn't be for free. And I think maybe the U2 concept of giving away that album for free sets out a bit of a bad precedent in terms of where the music scene is today, because it means that people think that music's for nothing, you know, and of course it isn't, because it costs money to put it together.
And I think we're pretty sure that U2 was paid pretty handsomely, probably, for that arrangement with Apple.
Very likely, but you know, the end result is that they all couldn't get away from nothing. You know,
exactly.
Jeff, we should have warned you that Jim here is an attorney, so that's why you're getting all the legal questions.
All right, okay. Good man.
Good man. Hey, is it true, my friend, that you were once entered for the Guinness Book of World Records for performing with the most keyboards on one stage in one performance?
Well, somebody put me forward for that. I don't know if I ever got accepted into the book, but I know that I was put forward in that category.
Well, how many keyboards did you have on stage, and what was that performance?
28.
Huh?
28.
Well, why 28. Would you need 28?
Yeah. No, I should have gone for more, shouldn't I?
How many will you have on stage next week at the Coach House? I don't think it has room for 28.
No, not room for 28. I'm down to about 10 now.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I got about 10 now, but it's building up gig by gig, so there might be more. I don't know.
All right. Very cool. Hey, what does Valkyrie mean? That's one of the songs off the album, correct?
Yeah, Valkyrie is a Norse goddess that she used to, well, you know, in folklore, mm-hmm. and she was like the sort of she used to kill off all the knights in the in Norse legends.
Right.
So,
I had to look it up.
Strong Norwegian connection. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but were you involved in the lyrics of some of these songs, or mostly the music? I think I read that it was mostly the music.
Yeah, it's mostly the music. I mean, John, you know, believes what he sings, and he really crafts the lyrics to suit his voice and his, you know, what he wants to get across. So I generally let him run with the ball on that stuff.
All right. And did I read you're also touring with Yes right around this same time?
Yeah, I've been doing that for I've been back with them for about 3 years now. So it's been quite a busy schedule for me over the last few years, but managed to keep it up and running so far. So hopefully I'll get a bit of time off after Christmas and put my feet up.
That'll be nice. And I'm curious also, this is probably a natural question, how do you shift between two different bands, and are you ever on stage and sort of forget where you're at?
Well, not really. I've now got two full rigs, keyboard rigs, which are which are suitable for one or the other. So, I kind of know where I am in one band and when I'm with the other. But yeah, I mean, it requires application. There's no doubt about it.
And then, what can people expect? What can your fans expect at your performance next week at the Coach House?
Well, I think they're going to see a great selection of Asian music, and we're going to have some solo sections as well, and it's just a nice set. I mean, I think we've been fair to say that we've been going down very well with what we've been playing. So, hopefully, we have another great night at the Coach House.
I'm sure you will, Jeff. Hey, listen, we appreciate you calling into our station this morning. We know you're traveling and touring, and you probably don't like to get up this early, but we really appreciate it.
That's all right. It's not too bad. You know, rock and rollers, they get up early now. They go to bed early and get up early.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good to know.
That's the way it is.
All right, listen. Asia plays next Thursday, October 16th, at the Coach House in San Juan Capistrano. And, of course, we've been talking with Jeff Downs from the band. And you're listening to KX 93.5 FM. And we're going to, April, take us out with a little segue into Valkyrie. And let's hear one of the tracks off the new album by Asia. And again, Jeff, thank you so much. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you very much. Nice to meet you all. Thank you.
Safe travels.
Cheers, man. Cheers, guys. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
KX 93.5, Laguna's only FM. I'm Scott Hayes, and this is Radio Caravan. And that was Valkyrie from the recent album by Asia, Gravitas. And Jim, you were on top of that this morning, dude.
Don't ever doubt my 80s music knowledge. Friends will tell you that if you're at a party and there's a trivia contest that erupts, especially when shots are involved, don't get involved with me.
Beautiful. Okay, so we've kind of reversed our role this morning because we wanted to get Jeff in on the interview and promote the show next week at the Coach House. And so we're going to do About Town with Katie Fetters, but I wanted to push out this first, the third annual People's March Against Bullying. Is scheduled for October 25th from 4 to 5 p.m. at Main Beach down here in Laguna Beach. And if you're a follower of this show or the Friendship Show, we did a show with Anna and Danny Mendez and their daughter Victoria about their son Daniel, who committed suicide from San Clemente High School after being tormented and bullied at school. And this is their third annual March Against Bullying. And I want to repeat, that's October 25th. From 4 to 5 p.m. at Main Beach in Laguna Beach. So I'm throwing that out there. What else we got going on around town here, young lady?
Well, in Costa Mesa at the fairgrounds, we have the OC Night Market happening. And that's happening from 4 to 12 tonight and tomorrow.
What's the night market?
I'll tell you.
Oh.
So there's live music, food, and I think the whole style of it is the like Asian traditional and modern fusion, like twist of food and music and everything.
Interesting.
Some of the names of the vendors I found really funny. Monster Munchie Shop, Waffle Land, and Crazy for Crawfish.
What do you think's going on with that Monster Munchie?
And who's not crazy for crawfish? Right?
Yeah, I don't know. A bunch of people from my school actually went because a lot of them are from Japan, so they're all stoked about it.
Oh, that sounds fun. Yeah. Are you going to go?
I might, maybe tomorrow night. Sounds fun.
That sounds good. Yeah.
And that's
she is so not going. Look at that. There's no way she's going.
I like Asian food, but I'm not that adventurous with food.
I know. Okay. I can tell. So disingenuous.
And then every Sunday, actually, from 9 to 2 at the Lido Village in Newport, there is an artisan market going on. Yeah. I don't know if you've heard about it. It sounds cute. There's, like, jewelry and crafts and artists, and all these designers come, and every weekend there's new vendors. So if you're into kind of that vintagey feel of old and new, and so definitely go check that out.
You forgot a big event. I can't believe you didn't put it on there.
The
Rose Bowl at 12:30 today.
Oh gosh!
My UCLA Bruins are playing host to Oregon.
Maybe I'll do
huge
a
game.
Edition
redemption
of
time. Oh come on! It's all
redemption
about
time.
All right. Well, there you have it.
Very nice. Very nice. And are you planning on heading over anywhere this week?
Oh. Well, no. I coach my son's Pop Warner team, and we have a game up in Lakewood this afternoon.
Oh, good.
I'm all about Pop Warner football, which, if you haven't observed, is completely insane.
In what way?
Every bad way and every good way. I mean, you have really aggressive, crazy parents who are all into everything.
Yeah.
It's football. It's cross-cultural. I mean, the way they approach things in Lakewood is a little different than we do down in Santa Margarita.
Okay.
But it's at the end of the day, it's great. It's 11-on-11. These boys are having a great time. They're learning a lot of discipline, a lot of great things that will take them forward, and our kids love it. So.
Who would you say is your inspiration, coaching inspiration?
John Wooden.
Of course. UCLA Bruin fan, right?
Yeah, I had the pleasure of meeting and talking to Coach several times, and just an amazing influence, and it's a no-brainer. I mean, everybody knows about Coach Wooden.
Everybody knows about him. I played basketball in high school, and I used to come home Friday nights.
You were obviously a guard, right?
I was, of course, and watch the Bruins games at late at night. They'd rebroadcast them at like 11 o'clock.
KTLA, Channel 5.
Yeah, exactly, and this was like the Walton years, and I read probably all of Wooden's books. And I had his Pyramid of Success on my wall.
It's
and
on
I,
my wall. It's
I right jotted right. down quotes from him. He was just an amazing man.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just the night I spent, we had a dinner at one of his former players' house, and six of my buddies were there with him. And we spent 4 hours just talking about any subject, and he was just amazing.
Yeah.
Little side note while we're talking
Please.
About it. I asked him what he thought of the movie Hoosiers. Which, you know, is the iconic Indiana high school basketball. I figured, you know, him being from Indiana, he'd love it. He goes, total fantasy and fiction.
Did he?
I said, Coach, what do you mean? He goes, that never happened. I was there, and they just dramatized it. And he kind of had a salty view towards that movie, which was shocking to me because, you know, it was one of the greatest movies. Now, it's a great story, but it's fiction.
Yeah.
Don't think it was real.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
That's interesting. And he had his longtime wife. I'm trying to remember her first name.
Nell. Yeah.
Oh, it's just what a love story.
Oh, yeah. No, he's still, up until just before he went to the hospital and passed away, still had her room made up and used to say prayers to her. And in fact, I'll tell you a story I was told by people who were there at the end. He had grown some scruff in the hospital, and he had asked Bill Walton and John Valley were there. He says, guys, can you help me out here and shave me? Because I don't want Nell to see me unshaven when I see her in heaven.
Aww.
Wow, that's amazing. Oh, my God. Beautiful, yeah. John Vallely, of course, graduated in Newport Harbor High School, I believe.
And Orange Coast College.
And Orange Coast College, yeah. I played 1 or 2 years in the NBA for the Atlanta Hawks, if I'm not mistaken.
He was a first-round pick. Yeah. John's a great guy. John and I have gotten to know each other over the years through Pediatric Cancer Research Foundation.
Let's get him in the studio.
He'd love it. He's amazing. Yeah, we'll bring him down.
That'd be great, yeah. And one more thing on Johnny Wooden. He used to have this routine before every game where he'd sort of fold up his little pamphlet and he'd tap his assistant's leg up and down, and he'd always turn to the crowd and find his wife to give her this little everything's okay wave,
so cool.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, nice contributions, Jim. Very nice. All right. Hey, healthy lifestyle coach, Miss Jill Harvey's in the room. And what are we going to talk about?
Well, it was something I thought maybe Jeff could use more of, but he said he's to bed early and up early. So it's sleep.
Oh.
We're going to talk about, you know, the health benefits of sleep and ways to improve your sleep. And I know, Jim, we just kind of met, but how do you sleep?
I sleep awful. It's horrible. I get up probably 4 or 5 times during the night. We just switched mattresses. I got the Sleep Number bed.
Wow.
It seems to be a little bit better.
Wow. Okay.
But yeah, you're on a topic where I definitely need help.
Yeah, keep us updated on that.
Yeah.
Well, we want to know, you know, so why is sleep important? And it's important for maintaining physical, mental, and emotional
health. By the way, you didn't ask me how I sleep.
Oh, Scott, yes, how do you sleep?
You know, normally I sleep really well.
Yeah.
I've gone 8-10 hours, just dropped, but I would say in the last 12 months. Can we have a chat?
Yeah, we can. Let's do this.
In the last 12 months,
I'm going to step out while you guys have your session.
Yeah, I've been up at 2 or 3 or 4 in the morning, but I go straight to work. So maybe it's just I got things on my mind, and I got to get it off, and maybe that's what's going on there.
Are you drinking coffee later in the afternoon?
No, I'm pretty smart about that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I sleep like a baby.
Oh, who wants to hear
like
that?
Like 10 hours, like solid.
Jeez.
I can only imagine.
Wow.
Oh.
All right.
I felt like I needed to get that in there.
We appreciate that. Yeah. Because now we're going to ring your doorbell at 2 in the morning.
You will, won't you?
Yeah.
All right.
So on the mental aspect, you know, while you're sleeping, the brain is being restored and prepared for the next day. And it has a lot to do with learning and memory functioning and critical thinking and decision making. And they found that children who don't sleep well actually have lower grades in school. And they're more isolated from their friends. And there's, you know, all that going on. So when we have that deficiency of sleep for the mental regions, it can affect your behavior, your moods. You can be irritable, mood swings.
I'm a little grumpy.
Yeah, I could tell. No, you're great. And it affects these regions of the brain differently on different people.
Yeah.
And they've also noticed that there's an increased risk for suicide for people who are chronically not getting sleep. And adverse risk-taking, like they're more up to take risks. So, April, you'll never have to worry about that.
Wait, let me back up, though. Yeah. They're more likely to take risks if they haven't received enough sleep.
Yeah.
That could be a good thing in some cases, though.
Well, it's, you know, like, for instance, the next, you know, thing we're talking about is safety issues. So when you're driving, you know, the National Institutes of Health have noticed that and have studied that sleep is bad or even worse, as bad than drinking and driving. And
totally.
Yeah, and every year there's 100,000 car accidents and 1,500 deaths from people who were lacking
sleep deprived.
Yeah.
Have you ever been in a position where you're driving late at night, early morning, and you find yourself just nodding off and how scary that is? We're all shaking our heads, yes.
It's terrifying. Yeah.
It's terrifying. But, you know, you think you should pull over or get a cup of coffee, and I've tried that, and that didn't even help.
Yeah.
And you don't want to just sleep in your car in the middle of the night. It's just a weird feeling.
No, I know.
At like 10 at night, and my boyfriend was asleep, and I was just like, okay, blast the air, like we were in the middle of nowhere, but somehow we made it home. I probably should have pulled over.
Absolutely.
Really, I think it is best to pull over and put those like sunshades in your windshield, you know. I mean, just pull over somewhere and catnap and set your phone to go off, like even 15 minutes will refresh you.
When you're driving long distances, it's probably best to take a break every couple of hours.
Yeah.
Stretch your legs, breathe, drink some water.
Absolutely.
So since I sleep so well, I can drink and drive.
Is that the takeaway? April? Interesting.
Go back to sleep.
Interesting takeaway.
She's on it.
Just checking.
So, and then with your physical health, you know, while you're sleeping, many different things are going on. Hormones are being balanced, and it's for adults and children. Children have a lot of growth aspects happening, and adults also have muscle mass being repaired and renewed in cells and tissues. So we really want to have that, so we're renewed and restored and refreshed.
It's funny you say that with my kids. I've got 12, 13-year-old kids and an older kid, but when they're going through a growth spurt,
you absolutely can tell because they sleep way longer than
yeah.
normal.
Hmm. So yeah, absolutely.
It's a big indicator.
Yeah, and they're finding deficiency in that will also lead to heart disease, stroke, high blood pressure. It's important for immune system function. People who don't sleep will have a frequency of colds and an inability to fight the infections. So these last longer. And then also weight gain. So people who don't sleep well, what happens at night, the hormones, ghrelin, which makes you hungry, and leptin, which tells you you're satiated, those go haywire. So people who are deficient, the ghrelin goes up and the leptin goes down. So they're hungrier.
Wow.
Yeah.
How do you sleep?
You know what? I sleep well. Lately, I have not been sleeping well.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I'm on top of that because I need to always be on top of my physical, emotional.
You know, you seem like the type of person who would sleep well because you exercise a lot, yeah. You eat healthy, you do your meditations, you have an ability to calm yourself.
Yeah.
You'd seem like the less likely type of person to not sleep well.
Yeah.
That seems like a double negative there somewhere. Yeah. But what do you do when you're not sleeping well?
You know, I try and work on, again, meditation uh-huh. or breathing, and, you know, I don't fight it. I just don't, because that creates more anxiety mm-hmm. as well. So I just kind of, maybe I'll get up, I'll walk around, and then I'll just go back to bed and lay there and work on, like, belly breathing.
What about naps?
Naps. Okay, so napping during the day. Very good question. You don't want to take long naps because those will interfere with your sleep. So 10 to 20 minutes max.
Hmm.
That's it. Yeah. Why do you nap long,
Scott? I've always napped, and I could go a good hour.
Ooh, that might be the problem.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, don't you wake up all groggy, though? Groggy.
Yeah, sometimes.
That's what happens to me.
But I like it when I'm sleeping.
Well, we just solved your issue.
Yeah, don't nap.
That's a big
don't
problem.
Nap.
One of the things that affects me is I'll get home from a long day, have dinner, I'll sit on the couch, and just, it's like 7 o'clock, and I'm watching television. I'll nod off at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
For like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I'm ready to go for another day, it seems like, and so that'll push me out on the time I'd normally go to bed.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a huge, huge thing late at night.
Are you one of those guys who comes home and sits in that nice comfy chair and all of a sudden your head sort of bobs down to your shoulder and you're snoring?
It's been known to happen. I'm told.
You should have your kids take a picture of you when you're doing that.
I'm pretty sure they have.
Oh,
now I'm scared because you hear the stuff about Snapchat.
Yeah, yes. We heard that this morning. Yeah,
it's been compromised.
Apparently. So yeah. That was the whole point of Snapchat, right? It disappears. Yeah. Apparently not.
It doesn't.
Nothing disappears.
Oh, my gosh. So then we have diabetes as an issue as well. Because
related to sleep?
Yeah. Oh, so okay. That's another hormone. The insulin is trying to regulate. And when it doesn't, your blood sugar goes up, and it can put you at risk for diabetes.
Hmm.
So now we talk about how much. So, like, newborns are going to need 16 to 18, preschool, 11 to 12 hours, school-aged before teenage, 10. Teens need 9 to 10, and adults need 7 to 8.
Wow,
so
very
now,
cool.
I have a question, though. What are your bedtime rituals?
Ooh, where do I begin?
Scott, don't you take a bath?
I do.
Yeah.
Is that weird?
No.
I take a nice, hot bubble bath, and I love it.
Candles, glass of wine.
Sometimes. I don't have a problem with that. I'm very in touch with the feminine side of my personality.
Nice.
But you know what I find is I have that restless leg syndrome. Oh. I can jimmy my legs all night long, and, you know, it just...
Me too.
Yeah, my wife won't sleep that way. So by taking a hot bath, it just numbs my body, and I can just, boom, sleep better that way.
It's really true, and that's some of the ways we're incorporating getting a better night's sleep. Also shutting off our electronics. They're finding that blue light that comes from our phones.
Oh, yeah.
So they say if you want to, like, I love my reader at night. I'll put on orange. You can put on the orange glasses. You can order those on Amazon.
What's that?
It filters the blue light. So it doesn't – see, we have the circadian rhythm in our body, and it works with light and dark, and it tells you, like, when night is coming, your circadian rhythm starts to increase your production of melatonin.
Huh.
But when you're on the readers, it's telling you to wake up because that blue light is waking you up.
Huh.
So they're finding a lot of issues with people on their phones or their, it looks like you are.
No, I'm not actually. I watch TV.
And that's the same thing, though.
I know.
Television.
My wife and I have a
perpetual
battle. They
say you shouldn't even have a TV
battle.
In your room.
I know.
Yeah. And they,
don't tell my wife.
But
she's not listening.
The orange glasses are filtering that blue light. And it's, you know, so it's not telling you to wake up, but also keeping your room dark and cool and staying off of the caffeine or even nicotine. Those are both stimulants. And a good mattress, a good pillow. I fight with my pillow. Oh, my God.
I found eating later.
Yeah, eating later, cut it off 2 to 3 hours before bed.
Right.
Even having a snack.
Good tip.
Yeah.
You know, Jill, I actually cover up my clock in my room so that there's absolutely no light at all when I sleep. So I do these little things that I think definitely contribute to my sleeping well. Because I can sleep like 10 hours.
Wow.
I mean, just solid. It's great.
Well, aren't you the perfect little sleeper?
She's like the teenager still.
I know. I'm bragging over here. But wouldn't you also say that being physically active contributes to good sleep as well.
That's a good point, yeah.
As long as it's not close to bedtime.
Yeah, right? Exactly. So, I feel that way because I have great workouts in the morning and I sleep great.
But there's help for people who don't. Like, you can keep a journal of your sleep patterns. If you find you're sleeping really irregularly, see your doctor, and they do sleep studies, and, you know, they can really... But I don't believe in medication. I mean, some people do. It helps them, the pharmaceuticals, but they're now relating research to it that can contribute to Alzheimer's. People who take sleeping pills all the time.
Yeah. So we're going to do a show on Alzheimer's one of these days, because both my parents suffer from that. Interesting.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Thank you, Miss Jill. Sleeping. Very kind of you. Okay, we're running out of time. Busy show, but very interesting show. It was like a new dynamics here this morning, Jim. I don't know why. Round of applause for Jim here today. First time.
Oh, thank you.
All right, you've been listening to KX93.5, Laguna's Only FM. I'm Scott Hayes. This is Radio Caravan. And next week, next Saturday, we've got a very special guest coming into this studio. And so if you're a fan of this show, you're going to want to make sure you're listening next Saturday, 8 a.m. And don't forget, we're also on Cox TV, 8 p.m. tonight, 12 noon tomorrow, Cox Channel 3. It's an interesting show with Kenny Metcalf and Caleb Quay.
Wait, hey, don't dangle me. Who's the guest?
I'm not telling you. It's I'm holding you out.
Oh, my
so
God.
You have to watch.
Go to the Facebook page. You'll find out. Hey, take us out with one of the Asia songs, and we're out of here.